freedoms that we are able to enjoy in the United States of America. We thank you for those who are God, who have given up themselves, who have given the ultimate sacrifice of their lives to protect us and to allow us to continue to have the freedom of this great country. We thank you, Lord God, for the possibilities that are here, the things we're able to do. And we ask God for your continual protection of this nation, even in the midst of fear, the fear that is in the world, Lord God, we continue to seek your protection. We pray that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. We ask you, Lord God, not to turn your back upon this great nation. Even when we sin against you and we become immoral, have mercy upon us. There are many of us who are seeking your face and trying to live according to your will for our lives. So, Lord God, have mercy. And as we gather here this morning, on this Sunday before the 4th of July, the independence of this great nation, we give you thanks. So much thanks. And those of us who were not born here but came and become citizens of this country, we're grateful to you, Lord God. For every neighbor or for every person who have given to the greatness of this country, we thank you. Lord God, now speak a word for us as we gather here. A word of hope, a word for our nation, a word for our lives, for our mind. And let us feel your spirit among us this day. Send us to the Lord, gathered here in our midst. So be in our midst now, come Holy Spirit. With all of your gift and power, we invite you here into this place. In Christ's name, amen. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time, God is good. In church, we don't think God is good. Just go visit the hospitals. You'll see how good God is to you. God is to us. When we're well and we're out of here, God is good to us. Thank you to God. And so today, as I think through the scriptures, you know that scripture can make you. Jesus is very bold, you know. Every now and then when we read the gospel, sometimes we have to be super holy when we read it. Every now and then between the lines, you get a smile of bold Jesus can be. Tell you what to do. Go forth. He's giving you the instructions. And oftentimes we hear preaching, we want it always to be about, you know, us, you know, we know that God loves us, we said Jesus Christ died for us. But every now and then the scriptures are here to instruct us. Scriptures are here to instruct, they're here to comfort, they're here to share love, they're here to instruct and to convince. That's how the scripture is. Paul reminds us, right? The word is like a two-edged sword. Go through marrow and bone to get to the word. And so today we see this scripture of instructions from the Lord. And then Paul reminds us. Well, my sermon title today is your mission should you choose to accept it. Do you all know that? Right? Mission Impossible is an American television series. I used to love that show. It chronicles the missions of a team of secret government agents known as the Impossible Missions Force, the IMF. The series follows the exploits of the Impossible Missions Force, a small team of secret agents used for covert missions against dictators, evil organizations, and crime lords. On occasion, the IMF also mounts unsanctioned private missions on behalf of its members. A hallmark of the series shows Briggs or Phillips receiving his instructions on a recording that then self-destructs, followed by the theme music. Right, you always hear this, as your mission should you choose to accept it, is to get Marjorie Lucas and so and so, when you receive the document, you know, right, when you receive the document from Obama, and if any of you were to get held or captured, right, this is all knowledge, you're out of here, thank God, and then the tape always, you know, distrust, right? Just go away. So wherever you could not tell the mission, if they you got captured, your mission God refused. You could not handle who was your leader. And so we see God sending Jesus to that folks a mission. We thank God if the mission may seem impossible, but Jesus is sending it, and he's not going to let himself destruct at the end. We hope not. I read this little article, Real Evangelism, and here's a story. It says, a story is told about a man who was on a luxury liner, and suddenly he falls overboard. He can't swim, and in desperation, he begins calling for help. Now, it just so happens that there were several would-be rescuers on deck who witnessed the incident. The first man was a moralist. When he saw the man fall overboard, he immediately reached into his briefcase, pulled out a book on how to swim. He now tossed it to him in the air. Now, brother, you read that and just follow the instructions and you will be all right. The man next to him happened to be an idealist. When he saw the man fall overboard, he immediately jumped into the water and began swimming all around the drowning man, saying, now, just watch me swim. Do as I do and you will be all right. The person next to him happened to be a member of the institutional church. Now, folks, that's us. He looked up under the drowning man's flight with deep concern. He yelled out, now, just hold on, friend. Help is on the way. We are going to establish a committee and dialogue your problem, and then, if we come up with the proper finances, we will resolve your dilemma. The next man on deck happened to be a representative of the School of Positive Thinking. He yelled out to the drowning man, friend, this situation is not nearly as bad as you think. Think dry. The next man on board happened to be a revivalist. By this time, the drowning man was going down. For the third time, he desperately began to wave his arm. Seeing that the revivalist yelled out, yes, brother, I see that hand. Is there another? And finally, the last man on deck was a realist. He immediately plunged into the water at the risk of his own life and pulled the victim to safety. My friends, the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. We need realists in the church willing to plunge into the water and go to work. Jesus wants realists in the church who will be willing to plunge into deep water and go to work. But Jesus does not want us to go it alone. You notice, he likes a team, doesn't he? Likes a couple of folks to do it together. Remember last week you reminded us that we shouldn't put our hands in the plow and take it back. You know, many of us Christians, we start something, and if it's not successful immediately or get done, guess what happens? We put our hands to it and we take it back. And if you look into our lives now, you notice all of our great big games, like the basketball and football and soccer and baseball, all have teams, don't they? They're all team sports. Even a tennis player who may be on that court by themselves has a team behind him, right? You don't see the tennis player running to pick up the ball off the ground and catching it and running back to knock it, right? They got the ball boys, the ball girls, picking up the ball. They got a whole team, right? Jesus understands us why he called 12 disciples and taught them. Jesus has just finished making sure that his followers understand that being a disciple, what being a disciple is all about. He introduced them to the concept of cost. We learned last week that for us, there will be costs as well. For you and for me, there will be costs. For some, the cost may be greater and of a different type than others, but all will experience the cost of discipleship. There has to be a cost. The cost means it's worth something. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday, Christian. You know, the hospitals are filled with people who are Christians, Jews, whatever religion or non-religion. We all get sick, we go to the hospital. But I was thinking from a Christian context as I was walking through the hospital, and I thought, all these folks in these wards, they serve God. Many of them are Christians. And they have probably done, as I saw through the rosary, done their work in the church, served the Lord, took their resources and their talent. And here they are sick. Cost is not singular. We all have different costs and burdens to bear, yet we have to continue to serve the Lord. God so needs it. Sometimes we, you know, I said to somebody the other day who had a problem, and they were always talking about their problem. And I said, everybody has problems. The fact that they don't keep talking about it doesn't mean that they don't have cost. You bear a cost when you're serving the Lord. And Jesus wants us to understand that. In our text today, we're going to get a taste of this life from Christ's viewpoint. The mission of the 70. Now, a couple of the manuscripts say the mission of the 72. Luke is the only gospel that has this story. We know the gospel, so one should believe. Normally, we see a story, a narrative in all the gospels, one would say when we were in seminary, that would be true. It's all true, but we always said we got proof. It is in Matthew, Luke, and John. You know, so we know, but Luke is the one who has this, and a couple of other manuscripts says it's 72. If you read like an NIV or the Message Bible or something, they say 72. NRSV and said 70. But Jesus is going to call them, and after this, they said the Lord appointed 70 others and send them ahead of them in peers to every town and place where he himself intended to go. That means he was going to go, but he sent them ahead of time. Jesus is going to send them ahead of time as he calls us to go. He said to them, the harvest is plentiful. Now, church, you believe that the harvest is still plentiful? Yes, it is. We don't believe that the harvest is plentiful because we see all these churches. And we think that everybody's saved, everybody knows Jesus. But the harvest is still plentiful. There are people that don't know Jesus everywhere. We're talking about from a Christian standpoint, because we're Christian believers as far as we're here in the church. He says, the harvest is plentiful of the laborers of few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Now, church, listen. This is interesting because guess what? Jesus again is using a metaphor, agricultural metaphor. Do you know why he's using a farming metaphor? Because farmers work hard. Farmers work hard. And farmers, that's why he's using it again. God took was a plowing, you have to plow. This week he's using the laborers. You know, farmers get up early in the morning, real early in the morning, they plant. Right? They wait for the harvest. If it is a bad year, they don't give up. Come on now, church. Right? This is a reminder for people like me who serve in Christ and called to serve Christ, and when things don't work out, you know, the way I think it should, or the next, it doesn't work out the same year, the same day, I need to re-examine. And remember that, you know, we are harvesters, right? And sometimes the farmers who plant and they plant. Plant seeds. You know, I'm an optimist by nature. If I get down, things are really bad. You can hardly ever get me down. You think I'm a car, you know. I always believe, I always see the glass half full. You can tell me the day that happens. I'm going to believe, and probably the only one believe it, she knows. We've been working on some stuff, and she says that, and she's just like somebody else. We've been busy on Facebook, she and I. We've been working on some technology. We're going to have some cutting-edge things we're trying to work on. We don't know how, but we're trying to figure it out. Wait till mom's super shows up here because we've been too busy. But whatever it is, we're hoping for big things. Right? You know, we're hoping for big things. So the point is, the harvest, you know, Lord, I get some of the farm plants to see. And they're watering. And then sometimes we don't get a good harvest. Right? Drought comes in. Have you ever been in a season of drought in your life? Drought comes in, right? You're doing ministry, or you're doing something, you don't see the fruit of your labor. But you gotta keep going. You gotta get into prayer. Right? Oh, what we are doing to nurture our ministry that God seeking God, looking for direction. That's what we do. We're called to do. And then they plant again. And when that harvest comes in, sometimes it's the same year, sometimes it's the next year. Sometimes it's with the children in Sunday school. We're teaching them. We don't see, we don't hear anything. And then one child, maybe 5 years from now, in time, will see you and say, oh, you know, I was in your Sunday school and I learned about Jesus. The harvest doesn't come all the time. The laborers. Jesus are reminding them. And he's saying, it's plentiful outside. They're folks that need to hear about Jesus. And he wants to send us to do that. We are the ones, right, that he's sending to do that. We are the ones that Jesus needs. So he's using this metaphor again about harvest. And then he says, go on your way. See, I am sending you like lambs into the midst of wolves. Do you understand? Do you know what he's saying? He's saying, you know what wolves do? They eat the lamb. Do you know that? Thank God for Jesus that he's going to egg us around. He's sending us into territory, sometimes that is not for welcoming. I tell you, people who have the gift to go and into areas, like sometimes when I go downtown, you know, always in the city, and you go to some part of the city, you know, like, or the 2nd Street and some part of downtown in Seoul, you might get to, and you see people up there and they're telling about Jesus and they're telling, and people just looking at them and looking up at them, and we're not all called to do that. You know what I'm saying? We're not all called to do that because you've got to be bold. You've got to be bold when people look at you, you shout them, and sometimes I really try to be very nice because I'm a Christian and I'll take a pound and I'll make a donation and I'll just keep going. But those people are bold, right? That's their calling. And they're in territory that is not welcoming. The church is welcoming. Hopefully, the church of God is welcoming. And we can tell people here about Jesus. Right? And some of us don't even talk to each other about mission and Jesus and doing this together. And we're in territory that we know each other. Right? Can you imagine? But Jesus tells them here. He says, you know, like lambs into the midst of wolves. He's warning that it's going to be difficult when you go out. Alright? But he's going to go with them. It's not going to be easy. They can't give up, church. Today, you cannot give up. If you give up, you might as well close the doors of the church. Close it to a way to keep. It's not just about keeping the building nice, which is important. We have to keep the building nice. But a building that is nice, and nobody's in it, it's just a darn building. Am I all right? It's just a building. It could be as beautiful as anything. Alright, but we want to keep it nice. We want it to last. But if there's not folks in it, so what? To worship and glorify God. And so now Jesus gives the instructions. And these instructions, he says, it's like catching a divine baptism. I started to smile when I read that scripture because I know the scripture, but if you're not going to read it, you're not going to. Jesus says, carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. In essence, he says, travel light, he's saying. And I started, because I've gone on many mission trips. I'll be going on one by God's grace later this year. In October, we're going to the Philippines and Japan. I just got the word from the time. A bunch of us are going to spread the gospel. Praise God, it's back in the glory. God so deep that it's a long trip for us. We're going to be packing our backpacks, and Lord knows we pack everything. We have got catechism, we've got ammonia, we've got aspirin. I am telling you, we know this life backpack Jesus is talking about is not our backpack, because we know that we have diarrhea, so we've got ammonia, we may have upset stomach, we've got catechism, we're making a headache. We got this, we got a moisturizer for our face, we got the sun who goes up forward around the sun, we got stuff, we got everything. We got practice, we got the kind of tools. I am telling you, I have had no backpack. We are not going on, and I do not only want pair of sandals, I'm telling you. I've got a couple pairs of sandals. You know, and I've got my sneakers because we live in a different kind of refined backpack. We're going. And I must share this confession. I told Mary, I remember my friend, in a new church today, We went to Africa. We invited the doctors to go and interview several times. We were in Kenya and the up of North Kenya. And we stayed in this room in place. And we did have a home of those rooms. They didn't have very pictures about that. We always went to find those back. But it was a nice room. It wasn't fancy or anything. We just had a bed, no TV. Thank God for the living condition. For the morning, I make sure you make sure in the morning. The people cooked our food. And in the daytime, we went to the clinic. We were building a clinic. We went to the clinic to work and so on. So now we've been there for a week. Our bishop was coming from Sierra Leone, and our bishop got ill. Bishop actually would have died. He got really ill. And they called us, because he was supposed to come to meet us in something, not Kenya, Ghana, I'm sorry. And so they called us and said he was supposed to preach. And they can't get here, they brought him to the hospital, and they said, Marjorie, the bishop said, you should be, you and Marjorie should handle the service. And you should preach, and Marjorie, you know, you should assist to figure it all out together. Now we didn't go, we just, you know, carrying hurt on our head and staff, pretending you know what we're doing, you know what we're doing, okay, helping them. But we did, we prayed for our bishop. Then we got done. Fly with a little tiny plane, get back down to Accra, and it's time for us to come home. Guess what happened? You know the big snowstorm, the huge snowstorm they had in America a couple years ago, we were in Ghana. We couldn't come home. I get to the airport, we couldn't come home. We were staying in one hotel, we got to a hotel, she didn't like it, now we goes to Africa because she's afraid about us. Can't ever figure it out. And then she put these camphor balls. She put in the bathroom because snakes are coming out. When you get to your room, it smells of camphor balls. I don't know why she takes that mission, but it's amazing. So now we're there, and I said, Marion, you can't go home this week. Take a plane to Dubai or some part of the world. Or you can't go home. That bad snowstorm wouldn't do anything. So we said, I said, Marion, said to our host, I said, take us to the hotel at the airport. And this was the Hilton. And with a fancy hotel. I said, now remember we're missionaries. Hope you deserve it. See, we already got this. It's time we're missionaries. So we get to the Hilton, and everybody's trying to get into these hotels. So the woman told us that the room was 500 a night. I said, it's what? I said, Barry says, I'm not leaving here because I don't want to fix the other hotel. We have a dorm. But I go up to the desk and I said, listen, we're here at the clinic, we're working at a clinic in a doctor's called the doctor's clinic. And they said, yes, how are we in the mountains of Ghana and Kenya? And I said, we're gonna be here and we need to stay here, we can go home for 2 days or whatever it is, no plane of landing. I said, well, we're missionaries, we're trying to help the country. We're trying to help the people here. We need to do better for us. And they ended up charging us. And I told Aaron I was going to confess it. So $250 a night. We had to pay for it ourselves. It's not out of an admission fund. So $250 a night. We took them home for 3 nights. That trip cost us more than we forgot that we're a missionary. We were so happy. That room was cool. This, we went to breakfast and all of that. Because in essence, even though we're serving the Lord, we had missed the comfort of our life, right? So Jesus is sending us here. I tell you, don't fear sandals. He says, I guess, go barefoot. He says, no sandals except the one on your feet, no curse, no bad. We're not going to mission like that. We're not sleeping in sleeping bags. I don't want to do that in South America. I slept on the floor in Biloxi. I don't want to do that in sleeping bags. Because when you go to those places, you don't get hotels. You have to have your sleeping bags and a 4 or 5 on the floor. We know how to do little top beds that if you turn and fall off. We understand that, but always at the end of our mission trips, we always have a good night. You have something nice to eat, and oftentimes they try to get you up and about. So we understand that. And then he says, do not have long greetings. He says, greet no one. No lengthy greetings, because if you know that part of the world, someone would start to greet you, and half an hour later they still greet you because they ask you about the family. You know, how such and such. There's an urgency to the mission. Urgency to the mission here that Jesus is sending them for. He wants them to go forth. And he people come. When you visit someone, if they welcome you, right, you stay in. But if they don't welcome you, if they change the way they come, shake the dust off your feet. Do you believe Jesus said that? Now you talk to some Christians now when they're saying, you know, somebody speaks on your flat, you should just not do anything. Jesus said, if they don't welcome you, shake the dust off your feet and keep moving. What is he saying? You can force somebody to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can bring them across the water, but you can't make them drink. Right? You can bring them to water, you gotta tell them about Jesus, but you can't make them drink the water. So if they're not welcome to your mission, then keep going. Keep going. Come with love and keep going. Jesus continues to tell them that, and he says, but you should cure the sick, pray for people, heal people. This is our instruction. He says, do these things because I have sent you. So he would, what did he do? He got them 2 by 2. He says, come Susan, you go with Marjorie. I'm sending you. You go with someone else. I'm sending you with Annette. Not sending you alone. You go with them. Together we're going out into the world. So we're going out into the world here. And he said, time, you come and go. This is what we need into the church. Why can't we find Jesus, people, and we're going to take our body, he has the right to go with us. We're going to go out into the world to preach the gospel, you see, to do the mission the Lord has asked us to do. Because there is what? There is good strength in numbers. That somebody can lean on. We lean on each other as we go tell people to go ahead and tell people about Jesus. This is what the Lord is telling us, that we need each other to do this. Is that what he's saying? We don't have to do this alone. Right? We need each other. We need each other to have to do it. My sister, we're coming together. And that's what we're doing. We need each other to do what we need to do. This is what the Lord is saying. The brother and the Lord, praise the Lord. Right? We're going out into the world. Right? We need each other. That's why when I go up to Celeste all the time, to come over to the hospital for me and she gets from me, I said, Jesus, need you to go with me. We need each other. Right? To go together. One person doesn't feel well, they don't want to go, we put our hands together. That's what the Lord is saying. We may not have to leave the call of Benjamin as good missionaries, very good top missionaries. We may not need to go to Benjamin or go to Jamaica or go to Barbados, but right here we need each other to go together. Right? 2 by 2. Going out into the world to do what the Lord has called us to do. And when they return, they say, hey, we see things happening. Right? Things are happening. You know, great things are happening. Lord, you will say it in your name. And Jesus said to them, don't you drive that you can pick up sticks. Church, don't pick up those sticks. I'm telling you, unless you get it from the authority of God, do not pick up sticks or drink whatever because you think you're under the authority. Be sure that the Lord has told you to do that. You gotta be sure in those days. A lot of those folks in the Tennessee Mountains passed the preacher down. Did you know that? Died because they were, it's a whole story about a man dying and his wife dying. Somebody gave you know those stories, true story. Because they were picking up snakes and sleeping horses and falling on the scripture. God didn't tell them to do that. Jesus, but they believed it and they died. We don't need to do that. We just need to come together and to serve and to do it in love. And Jesus says, don't worry about what you're doing. Don't worry about all of that. He says, just remember that when you do what you do for the Lord, your name is written. Where is it? What did he say? But rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Don't worry about what you're doing. Do it in the name of the Lord, and your name will be written in heaven. Don't we want our name to be written in heaven? Praise the Lord. Praise God. As I told Paul tells us, he says, bear one another's burden. Bear one another's burden. I know there's a couple of ministries that we have here that we start and didn't take off. And sometimes I think, you know, people might have something to do it alone. And I've been praying about it. Praying about a couple of them, the little choir and the children. I've been praying about it. The Lord, I take time to pray and say, and the Lord is going to open up opportunities that we do together. stood together. Right? They may not have been living in the hospital here, in the hospital in Christ again, as peace to the glory of God. And that Moses has to be glorified. It doesn't mean who's leading and who's happening. I have to be the pastor. That's just what it is. I'm United Methodist. If you know, this is our universe. I didn't make the rules as Methodism. I'm not ordained at this church, so I'm going to be a part. But everybody else can come and join me. Alright? Come and join me. Give me an idea. Let me give an idea of 1 minute. I'll run with you. I'll run with you as long as I can. You know, my friend, I'll run till I'm tired. To the glory of God. I want you to jump in and run too. With me. Alright? Come to me and bring me an idea and I'll run with you. I'll figure out a way to do it. Or if I don't know, I'll find out. I'll say, let's get together for this. Not a competition. I owe the glory of God. It's not a competition. It doesn't matter who can do it better, who can do it less. It is that our name is written in heaven. So, Paul reminds us, he says, all must test your work. Then that work, rather than the labor's work, will become a cause of pride. So I test the old one. We should help each other. Together we can change the world, church. No man or woman is an island. And nobody should have to beg us to serve. When our heart gets moved, we should say, yes, I can help. I can't do it by myself. I know you can say, sister, such you need somebody to in the pantry. I can't do it. There are those who have their time in the pantry. I can't eat it. I can't do it. But I can give a couple of hours. I can do something. I do not do, because we need each other. We will not survive without each other. So church, we're starting a new year. Today is my first Sunday in my fourth year. Let this year, let me say that for last year. Let this year, I just remember that today is July 3rd. Just remember that we are appointed come July, you know, just remember. But let this year for this church be more spectacular than it's ever been. Right? To the glory of God.
Amen.
Yeah, to the glory of God. Not because we have the best Twitter account or the best Google or whatever it may be, but because we have made disciples of Jesus Christ. And let's take our curses down into houses. I get hurt all the time. We just keep going to the Lord. Huh? When heaven's not, it gets on my nerve, and I tell you, it's in the red Jesus body. You get on my nerve too, and we keep moving. All the people who are very high in maintenance, I don't have the people who are high in maintenance. I'm not very good at maintaining the people who are high in maintenance. I'm waiting to be able to get up and pull up because you know what? I got problems too. And you don't have to maintain me. Just pray. That together, we can change the world. Together, for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thanks.